Very good. It's been good service to this point. Let's turn in our Bibles to 3 John. 3 John in the Scriptures. I preached through 2 John, and now we're on 3 John over the course of, this will be the fourth week, so 2 weeks on each book. And in hindsight, I obviously preached through both books together. In hindsight, I think they need to be preached together. They're kind of talking about the same topic. They're talking about ministering to one another, hospitality to the saints, and that fellowship we have in the gospel. And in 2 John, John writes to the elect lady, and he praises her for walking in the truth, and he goes into the and both these books are the same, that in the second half, John really gets to the point and says, and really the controversial part of each book, or the part that is where it's where he's getting into controversy and difficulty. And in the second part of 2 John, he says, you take care of the saints, but don't, in verses 10 and 11, but if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. He says, you don't have fellowship, you don't show hospitality to someone who is perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching a false gospel, a gospel that won't save, or a Christ that is not revealed in the scriptures and tells things that aren't true about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't show hospitality to them. And now in 3 John, we're going kind of through the opposite aspect. We're going to have an example, a bad example of a man who is completely separating from teachers and not showing hospitality, and John's going, but these are brothers. They do walk in the truth. You absolutely don't follow this man's example, because these aren't false teachers. They're brethren, and you should be showing hospitality. So John in these two books is kind of covering all angles of this ministering to one another in the gospel and ministering to the saints and ministering to these teachers that are traveling from church to church. So in 2 John, you're not supposed to have fellowship with false teachers, those who teach a different gospel. But in 3 John, you certainly love and minister to those who do teach the gospel in truth. And so we get that full picture. Well, in an introduction, again, just a reminder from last week, this is a letter from the elder, is his description in verse 1. He's writing to an individual again, as he did in 2 John. This one he names Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And last week, we looked at the first 8 verses, and he's commending Gaius for all his good things, and especially in his care and ministry to the brethren, to the saints, and even strangers, those not of his church, but I believe were brethren. He's ministering to them, and that's a testimony, and he said, you should do this. And now we're going to get to a bad example in verse 9. Let me read through the whole book, and hopefully you'll see the flow of the outline, his commendation to Gaius, his warning to Gaius. He says, don't follow the example of Diotrephes. And then he confirms in the third name mentioned in this book, Demetrius. He says he has a good testimony, so you should receive him. Feel free. He's not a false teacher, and so you can welcome him. So let's read the whole book through again, starting in verse 1, 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers with the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. All right. Book of 3 John. You can see the flow there, and it's all about interacting with fellow believers and especially those who are ministering and going between these churches. A book about hospitality. Well, we're going to be looking especially at verses 9 through 14, and we have his farewell greeting and his warning starts in verse 9. We'll start there. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. First of all, you see there that he's talking about the church, and he talked about Gaius' testimony within the church, and now he's talking about another man in the church, Diotrephes. And so he says, I wrote to the church as a whole. This is a personal letter to Gaius. And it kind of sounds like he's alerting him, just so you know, you probably didn't see it, but I wrote a letter to the church. And so he's alerting him to that. And he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. That's why in verse 10 he's going to say, when I come, I'll deal with him face to face. Verse 10, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind the deeds which he does. So he's writing by letter. He says, I did send a letter to the church, but we have a problem there, and that is Diotrephes. He says about Diotrephes, he loves to have the preeminence. All right? You may be familiar with some of the Greek words for love, all right? And this is that Greek word for love, phileo, that affection you have, you know, for one another, for friends and loved ones. So this is a compound word between phileo and being first. He has an affection and a love for being number one. All right, for his own importance, he has an affection for himself, and that he has that he's number one. Preeminence is a good way to write it, at least in the New King James here where I'm reading it. He loves to have the preeminence, all right, among them, and he does not receive us. This is he's a part of the church. And apparently he loved being the leader, the most important one. He's the pillar of the church. He is apparently the one to whom everyone else deferred in this church. And he did it for that sake only, not because he was caring, you know, for the people. He did it because he loved being in charge, being number one. And this is not an unfamiliar problem person to have in churches. It could be the pastor. Pastors can be like this. It could be a deacon. It could be a long-time member who thinks they have, you know, maybe seniority, right? I've been here forever, so you need to listen to me, right? It could be a person, maybe they haven't been, you know, there forever, but they just have the will to speak over other people in order to get their way, or someone who quickly gains influence in the church. This is something that can happen very easily. And it happens, it can happen regularly. There have been times where I've seen signs of this before somebody even comes into the church. And they come with prerequisites. Like, I've had it on the first time someone attended. Look, I'm interested in attending here, but I want this and this and this, and I've got to have this, and, you know, and it's like, puts up some warning flags, right? Somebody, you know, you don't know what's going on there. Even the apostles, remember the apostles, what were they arguing over when they were following Jesus? Who's going to be the greatest, right? They got distracted with this, the preeminence, as opposed to the humility that Jesus reminded them of in service. Mark 10:43, Jesus said that to them, whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. All right? And Diotrephes, he cared about the preeminence. He didn't care about service. He didn't care about serving those in the church. And it's the one thing we need to understand from this is that this is a capability for sin and a temptation that is possible and within each one of us. You have to be aware of this. This is the warning. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil. He's telling us, this is written, don't follow Diotrephes' example. We must be aware. You understand, this can happen in a smaller group than the entire church, okay? It could happen, you know, within the deacons and pastors when we meet as as the deacon board. It could be within that smaller group. You know, the rest of the church doesn't realize. It could be within all the musicians, right? One of the musicians could be seeking to be the preeminent one in the music ministry of the church. It could be in a small Bible study group. It could be within your family. It could be getting away from church. We could see this in the world, but you could see it among Christians. It could be in work or in your department, in your area at work. And the point is, look at Diotrephes. Don't give this a foothold in your life where we live to have the preeminence. We don't want to be like him in this. Well, Diotrephes, he loved to have the preeminence. He loved to be number one. And one of the results of that is he does not receive us, John wrote. This is interesting to me. I mean, John is an apostle, right? I mean, he had a great reputation among the early church. And he's one of the apostles. And this man doesn't receive him. Gaius was commended for being the opposite. Verse 5, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. They've borne witness of your love before the church and how he, and then Paul or John writes, then you, if you send them on your journey, you do well to do that. And when we went through that, I said that he's a request. He says, keep doing this. And then verse 8, we ought to do this. And so Gaius was an example of the exact opposite, but Diotrephes does not receive them. He was not, if you look at the end of verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Diotrephes was not a fellow worker for the truth. It was about him having the preeminence. All alone. In In 2 John, we were warned not to receive false teachers who do not walk in the truth, and now we have the problem of a man not receiving, Diotrephes not receiving those who do walk in the truth. He says also in verse 10, not only does he not receive John and his associates, verse 10 we'll read a little bit more. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does. What are those deeds? Prating against us with malicious words. All right? Just verbally haranguing them with evil, with malicious words. And literally it's talking about accusing or falsely accusing them in his with his evil words. All right? It's not even true. He is falsely accusing. And this is a common thing, right? If we tear down others, we can say, well, at least I'm not that foolish or that stupid or I'm not that pathetic at whatever it is you're doing, right? We tear down others, and then we can feel a little bit better of ourselves, right? In fact, that's one of the primary methods taught to get to heaven. Just be better than somebody else, right? You just got to do more good works. You're trying to get in the top half or something. It's always comparing yourselves to others. And Diotrephes, he was prating with malicious words. He was chasing them away. Verse 10. I will call to mind the deeds which he does. He's prating against them, false accusations, tearing them down. And not content with that, he says, it gets even worse, not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. All right, he doesn't receive the brethren. He refuses them as if they were false teachers. Remember last week, I think I read this verse, Mark 9:41. Jesus said, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Just a cup of cold water given to a follower of the Lord in my name, because you belong to Christ, you're going to get a reward for that. You know, we're familiar with the verse that God knows when a sparrow falls, right? He knows when a cup of water is given, is what he's saying in that verse. And that has its reward. On the other hand, here, Diotrephes, he himself does not receive the brethren, the exact opposite. And he goes further than that. He forbids others to receive the brethren. So Diotrephes is chasing them away and causing the whole church to chase them away. Remember back in 2 John, he said, you must absolutely battle for the truth against false teachers who would deny the fundamentals of the faith, the core truths of the gospel. In 3 John, Diotrephes is doing that, but not with false teachers, with the brethren, with those who are walking in the truth. And he's not just doing it himself, he's forbidding others to do that. And if they don't, if they disobey what he's telling them to do, he puts them out of the church. He's disciplining them out of the church, those who are doing what Christ commands us to do. It's almost like you could get the idea that Diotrephes read 2 John, the letter in 2 John, and he's just doing that with everybody, not just false teachers, with anybody. And unfortunately, he's applying it to people who do walk in the truth. It's not enough that he was doing it, but he led and forced others to join him in this evil. And that's where the problem is, because that's how John describes it in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He's saying what Diotrephes is doing is absolutely evil. That's the description. And not only that, but he was leading others in the church in this evil. You've heard the saying, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin is contagious. It spreads. And he was forcibly spreading this evil that he was doing. We're not supposed to imitate evil. We're supposed to imitate what is good. And what he says in verse 11 at the end is a pretty harsh statement. He says, but he who does evil has not seen God. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. He's saying what Diotrephes is doing may suggest he doesn't even know God himself. That's at least the appearance. Remember when we went through 1 John, that's the appearance of all sin. Right? We were saved from sin. Why would you go back to it? We were saved by a God, the Father, who sent his Son because of sin, who hates sin. So it doesn't reflect God. It doesn't reflect Jesus. He was the sacrifice for our sins because he was sinless. And he died on the cross so we could be like him, which is no sin, right? He saves us from sin. The Holy Spirit indwells us to guide us away from sin. Everything we are and everything we are made to be is about not sinning. It's about righteousness, everything. But what Diotrephes is doing suggests or would be fruit of evil and be fruit of the evil one. Forbidding others to even receive the brethren. We're not supposed to imitate his evil. We are supposed to imitate what is good. I want to take you to another passage, and I go here often, and so you might think, oh, we're going here again, but turn to Matthew 25. It's because this is, hopefully I do it often enough that you have this memorized, and you know where to find this passage. Matthew chapter 25. We have the judgment. We're going to start in verse 31, and this is, to give you the background, this is the judgment when the Lord Jesus returns, and he's judging all the nations that have made it through the tribulation. This is who is going to enter the kingdom, all right? So let's start in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? If Jesus came right now and said this to us, that we'd be doing the same thing, right? Lord, when did we do this to you? Listen to his answer in verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. He says, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren. In that passage, this is the very description of the difference between the saved and the unsaved, the redeemed and the unredeemed, those who are Christ's and those who are Satan's, those who are living in their sin, they're evil, they've rejected God and Christ. This is the evident difference between those two groups of people, how they treated the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How they treated the least of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The smallest, the most insignificant, maybe the least knowledgeable, the least of the followers of Christ, this testifies as to who they were, whether they were Christ or whether they had rejected him. Diotrephes was doing the very things that would characterize him as the enemies of Christ, as an enemy of Christ. He was doing the very things in this passage that Jesus said, demonstrate whether you are mine or whether you are my enemy. And Jesus, in this passage, it says Diotrephes is doing these things to Jesus himself. And on the other hand, Gaius, when he's taking care and helping these fellow ministers for the gospel, he's doing that to Jesus himself. In Mark, even if he just gave them a cup of cold water to help them on their journey, he gave that cup of cold water Jesus. This is how close, as a believer, on the one hand, this is how close Jesus thinks of you to himself. This, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you need to understand Jesus cares about whether someone gives you a cup of cold water. But in our context here, his point is make sure you're giving a cup of cold water to your fellow believers. Make sure you're ministering and serving. And Diotrephes, and that's back in our passage, that's what he's saying when he says, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. And he says, every evidence Diotrephes is giving you right here is that he does not know God. Because this is what characterizes the enemies of Christ Jesus. And he's writing this so that we can see the danger and respond in horror at what Diotrephes is doing here and what we are capable of doing. And that's why John needed to address this very seriously and why he intends to correct him directly when he sees him. A terrible example. And we need to be on guard about seeking our own preeminence because we do have a part of us that we have the flesh that this is appealing. This is a temptation. So pay attention to this and let's make sure that as we obey the Lord that we demonstrate this care and hospitality and kindness to those who walk in the truth. He goes on in verse 12, and he moves on from Diotrephes, and he just says this short little verse about Demetrius. He says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness. And you know our testimony is true. Three things. Now, why is he all of a sudden bringing up Demetrius? It seems you could speculate that maybe this is either one of the individuals Diotrephes has rejected in the past, or maybe John is sending him there and he's going to be coming, but somehow this man seems to be involved in this church, and he says, look, Diotrephes is not a false teacher from 2 John. He has a good testimony from all. His product rating on Amazon would be 5.0, all right? He has a good testimony from all. He has a consistent testimony of godliness to all who interacted with him. And so he's saying, Gaius, you can take care of this man. You can help this man. Or if he's one of the ones being put out of the church, you know, this isn't right. You know, you can receive this man. Not only that, he's got a good testimony from the truth itself. He is absolutely faithful and loyal to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the scriptures. 2 John, remember, warned against false teachers. He says, no, this man, Demetrius, has a testimony from the truth itself that he is in it. He's faithful to the truth. And then thirdly, he says, and we also bear witness. And you know that our testimony is true. We bear witness. The Apostle John, he's saying, I'm telling you, this man walks in the truth. He has a great testimony. You can receive this man. So we have in these verses that Gaius was commended, faithfully serving, ministering to the servants of the Lord, both brethren and strangers. And now he's telling Gaius, Demetrius is worthy of you doing that to him. He's worthy of your support and benevolence. He does not deserve whatever Diotrephes is doing to the servants of the Lord. And from this, we can ask this question, what's your testimony? What's my testimony? What's our testimony to our fellow believers? What's the testimony of those who interact with us from fellow believers, pastors, our church family? You know, hopefully our testimony is like Demetrius. Oh, yeah, you can receive him or her. They walk in the truth. Well, let's conclude this, and I'm running out of time, and so we'll get to the farewell starting in verse 13. I had many things to write, very similar to 2 John. That's how he closed that one. He wants to say a lot more, but as I mentioned, these are both short letters. They would fit on one sheet of papyrus, which was typical for a personal letter. There's a limit in room, and this would be the typical size of the letter. But he says, I got many more things to write. Obviously, that didn't stop Paul all the time, one sheet of papyrus. But in this case, he's saying, I, and you can see he expects to see both the elect lady in 2 John, Gaius, in 3 John. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write with you with pen and ink. There's an advantage to meeting in person, to talking about these things. I'm even thinking of my interaction in Sunday school with Nancy. In letter, we wouldn't have been able to resolve it, but when we're talking, I'm slow, but finally figured out it was a definition of a word that was causing the issue, and we could get it straightened out in person, which it's difficult to do. This happens when I was working at Muth, and so some of our suppliers were from China. All right, so you're roughly 12 hours off. When I'm working, they're sleeping. When they're working, I'm sleeping. And so if you got something urgent, it's difficult because I need an answer right away, and I'm not going to get one. Every writing is a delay of a full day. You lose a full day. And so if you have something urgent and then they come back with a question, well, what about this, or what did you mean by, oh, great, now we're losing another day. And it just drags on and on, and that's what John is saying here. I have many things to write, but I want to be in person. I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. There's so much of an advantage, so many things that can be talked through and fixed in a conversation where you can talk back and forth. But he says, but I hope to see you shortly. Verse 14, I hope to see you very soon, and we shall speak face to face. This is short, but it's okay because I'm intending to see you soon. And then he says, peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. See, it's biblical to say, hey, tell so-and-so I said hi. I mean, whenever you get annoyed by that, or if you're like me, half the time you forget to ever pass on the greeting. But they did it in the Bible. He says that here, greet the friends by name, and our friends greet you. You know, they're telling you hi. This is a good thing to do. Greetings from friends, and so that's another good example to us. Let's go back to verse 11 as we conclude. That's the challenge. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's a not. Do not imitate what is evil, but do imitate what is good. Our loving hospitality to the brethren is what the example we're supposed to follow. Don't follow Diotrephes' example. Loving the preeminence, prating against those with malicious words who are walking in the truth, rejecting them, forbidding people to receive them, and even putting people out of the church. Loving hospitality of the brethren is the example we should follow, and this is a ministry not only to our brethren, but to Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that as we consider how we interact with one another in these two small books in 2nd and 3rd John, you cover multiple angles for us to make it clear what we should do and what we should not do. And it's unfortunate to see an example like Diotrephes, but it's also a necessary example for our learning, Lord, that we wouldn't be like Diotrephes. That instead we would follow the example of Gaius and Demetrius, these examples that you have recorded for all to read on their diligence to serve you by serving your disciples. And so we thank you for these examples. Help us to do it. May we be a group of believers that faithfully serves and ministers to your followers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.